Welcome to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network, a show that streams health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community. You can download all Kidney Talk shows from iTunes and find a variety of resources to help you navigate this illness at rsnhope.org. Please welcome your host, Lori Hartwell, who has lived with kidney disease since the age of two.
Well, welcome to another episode of Kidney Talk. You know, today I'm so pleased to speak to Angelique Barber. She is the winner of RSN's annual essay contest. And I am always moved by people who share their feelings and thoughts and move other people to make decisions. And she wrote an article called "Help Me, I'm a Blowfish." So welcome to the program, Angelique.
Thank you so much, Lori. I appreciate you having me.
So what was the inspiration of your essay? Why did you decide you wanted to write for this topic?
Well, I read your Kidney Talk letters, and it really is about the thousands of kidney patients and transplant recipients who need encouragement and inspiration.
Well, I know, and this year's theme was, how do you advocate for yourself? And, you know, we had so many amazing essays. And can you tell us a little bit about your essay and what prompted you to write about this particular topic?
Sure, I would love to do that. I think what happens is, when you go into a transplant and you have your post-transplant medicine regimen, steroids is definitely going to be in the mix. And what had happened is, before my transplant, I went ahead and educated myself about that whole process. And one of the things that stuck out to me was that I was going to gain weight. And so that's what happened through this whole process. I definitely gained the weight, and it was difficult for me to take it off. And so then I just decided, I've got to do something about this, and I turned to a fitness app for help, and I was inspired by your desire to help people and get the word out there of how they could manage their weight after a transplant.
Well, I don't know if you experienced this, but, you know, after I had my transplant, food tasted better than it ever had before. I mean, it just, you know, when I was on dialysis or my kidneys were starting to fail, food didn't taste as good. Did you experience that too, in addition to taking all the meds that can help you gain weight?
Yes. I think that steroids, you know, they do increase your appetite. Actually, I became a little piggy, and I ate everything in sight. So they created that increased appetite, and I actually became very ravenous. I had very little self-control when it came to food.
You know, I remember when I was 12 years old and I had my, actually I was 13 and I had my first transplant. That was back in 1979. And they didn't have very many medications to give you for rejection. So it was basically prednisone and Imuran. And I was so hungry that I didn't even like liver. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand the smell of it. But I would have eaten, you know, a shoe had you put it in front of me, because they had me on so many steroids trying to save the kidney that ultimately didn't last. You know, I can totally relate to you, because, you know, it's hard when you have that hunger pain all the time. How do you control it? And how do you, you know, get on a track of losing weight? So tell us a little bit about your journey of, you know, losing weight and what you learned through the process.
Well, I think the first thing is, you have to realize, I had to realize I needed to lose the weight. And I guess the mirror was very telling. After a while, it seemed like it happened overnight, but I looked in the mirror one day and I thought, oh, wow, what happened to me? And so I realized at that time I needed to do something. Plus, diabetes and high blood pressure were knocking at my door every day, and I understood the ramifications of not losing the weight, that I would have an issue with diabetes as well as exacerbate heart disease. And that's one thing that I really did not want to do. And so losing the weight became really important to me.
Well, tell us a little bit about your family and, you know, how you came to learn that you have kidney disease.
Okay, well, actually, I was adopted. So I had no idea that I had a history or a genetic propensity to polycystic kidney disease. So when I was pregnant with my second child, I could not carry the baby to term. It was a girl. Her name's Hope, and she's doing great today. But during that time, her and I almost died during the course of that pregnancy. And it was after that that we realized, through just some indications of high blood pressure that never went down, that I had a problem. And so what I did is I went under some testing, and they discovered I had polycystic kidney disease. And that was about 22 years ago. So since then, I did as much as I could to prolong my original kidneys as much as I could. And then I reached end-stage renal disease about in 2008. It took 2 years for me to find a donor. And a friend of ours, a family friend named Max Bowman, who's not a relative at all, donated his kidney to me. He's a football coach. And for that, I'm very, very grateful.
Let's give it a shout out to Max Bowman there for donating the gift of life.
Right.
I know. That is amazing when you hear so many incredible stories of how people get their kidneys. You know, I know one of my friends said, oh, yeah, it came knocking at my door. Her neighbor came over and said, I want to donate a kidney, and, you know, ended up working out. It's amazing. It's so inspiring. So did you have to experience dialysis at all before you?
No, I did not. My nephrologist, at that point, he was going to let me go as far as I could before the transplant. So I was like right at 9% kidney function. I actually should have been on dialysis, but he wanted me to wait to see if the transplant would go through and all the approval, and it did. So I was essentially bedridden, pretty much. I mean, I could do some things, but I was in bed a lot before my transplant.
Well, you know, it's amazing now that they're learning that there's a sweet spot of when you should be transplanted. You don't want to transplant too early, and you don't want to transplant too late. And, you know, it's interesting because they used to transplant people when their GFRs were like 18%, 17, 16, and then someone was like, no, it needs to be a little lower. So I'm so glad that you were able to avoid dialysis because, you know, you don't need that. Nobody needs that.
I was very fortunate in that I was right on the edge, and so it happened just in the nick of time.
Now, have you tested your two children for polycystic kidney disease?
Yes, I actually have, and I personally was an advocate for that, especially since both of my children are daughters, and they are in their childbearing years. Both of them have been tested. One of them tested positive, and the other did not.
Wow, 50-50 chance, and I guess it came out that way, huh?
It did.
So you had talked to me earlier about you want to take a writing class. You've really been inspired to write. And what does writing help you with? I mean, because there's a lot of people listening that they think, wow, you know, I couldn't write an essay. Can you have anything you want to say to them?
Oh, I think anyone can write. I think it starts with journaling. And for me, through the whole process of having a chronic illness for so many years, it was very catharsis. It's healing for me. I believe it starts with just journaling, just writing down your thoughts and feelings. And it was from those sorts of personal notes and reflections that you're able to write essays.
I know it is. It's I started writing when I was probably my early 20s, and I was amazed that, you know, people like wanted to read what I had to say. And I think if you take the chance of letting other people read what you write, it really opens up a lot of doors for you. Because I have people who I know who write, but they're like, oh, I can't share what I write. I don't want to tell you what I'm, you know, they're somewhat embarrassed. And I think that that's unfortunate because it is cathartic, and it helps you as well as helping other people by sharing your story.
I agree with you, Lori. I really think that so many people are hungry for encouragement. And if something that someone writes, especially if, you know, you're sharing it with a family member or a friend, if something you write encourages someone else or inspires them, that it really has served its purpose. And I think a lot of your listeners will be surprised at how their journey can encourage other people.
You know, it's so true because, you know, I'm inspired by your writing. I love the analogy that you wrote about help, I'm a blowfish. And how did you come up with that analogy?
Well, actually, you know what happened is once I realized my body had changed, and I like to look at things in a positive way. So I had developed the trifecta of beauty, which was the hump neck, the moon face, and the paunch belly. That's what I call the trifecta of beauty, which is actually a result of transplant post-treatment. But I knew that when I went into a crowd of people that I'd known for a while that I hadn't seen in a couple months, or a group of friends, they were all thinking, geez, she has packed on the pounds and her head looks like a basketball. And so in order to put them at ease, and also myself, I would just make a joke because I love to laugh and say, hey, I look like a blowfish. And so that became kind of the joke, the running joke in my home and with my friends. And that's how I came up with that.
And one of the things I liked in your essay is that, yes, you're a blowfish. A blowfish can come back to its normal size. Can you share some of your victories with, you know, pursuing this route of fitness? And
Yes, I'd love to do that. I guess the first victory was realizing I needed to lose the weight. And then also finding a lot of the apps that you can find are free. And so that's a really good thing. People don't really have to pay for them. And the victories that I've had is the victories were 1 pound a month. I didn't really, there were little victories all along the way that accumulated into one big victory and a good outcome for my health. And I think it just takes time. I lost 1 pound a month, which some people can do better than that, but that's not what my body did. And so I also think there's emotional victories with that. For every pound you lose, you're encouraged by that. And it causes you to want to go further and continue the habit of watching what you're eating and exercising.
You know, the end of last year, I decided to, wow, I really need to get serious about losing weight as well. And you know, I'm 48. I mean, you know, you can't eat what you used to. And I went and saw a nutritionist, and I go to the gym 3 times a week. And, you know, I pretty much eat the right thing. Not all the time, but I know what, you know, is on the approved list and what isn't on the approved list. And I had some valuable advice, and I'll share this. I went to a nutritionist, and she told me to make sure that the protein was double the fat in anything I ate, and make sure the sugar is under 10 grams, and don't starve myself. Eat 5 times a day, which we think that we do that, but we always get busy because then you slow down your metabolism. And from January to now, I've lost 12 pounds.
Wow, congratulations.
It is. It's like, oh my God, I can't make excuses that you can't lose weight when you have a transplant. You can lose weight. It's just more difficult. And we have more, you know, limitations sometimes because we may have arthritis. We may have other things going on. But, you know, I'm doing a combination of Pilates and going to the gym, and you slowly start to feel better. So I definitely understand those emotional victories and, you know, connecting with people who help and support you. My husband decided to join me, and of course, he lost over 20 pounds in like 5 months. I mean, what is it with men? They can just like not eat a meal for 2 weeks and then lose all their weight. But you know, you can't compare yourself to anybody else, right?
That's right.
So, well, thank you so much, Angelique. I mean, your words are so encouraging. I can tell that we could hang out and have a blast. We'd probably get in a lot of trouble, too, with our senses of humor, because I can tell you have a little bit of a warped sense of humor, too.
I do. I am a little weird.
Well, quirky and weird is good in my book. So thank you so much, and I look forward to more of your writings.
Thank you, Lori. Have a great day.
Thank you, Angelique.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Kidney Talk, a program of Renal Support Network. Please make sure to find us on Facebook or sign up for our newsletter at rsnhope.org. Kidney Talk is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment from your physician. Always seek the advice of your own healthcare provider regarding your medical condition.